Good morning and welcome to our Palm Sunday service celebration this morning. We'll begin our service with prayer. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you would open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word, we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus in life and death, and grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. I invite you to rise. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. We now join in the responsive reading taken from Psalm 24, found in the bulletin. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
The world and those who dwell therein.
For he has founded it upon the seas. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord?
And who shall stand in his holy place?
He who has clean hands and a pure heart.
He will receive blessing from the Lord.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors.
That the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord,
lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors. Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
Glory be to God. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who sent your Son to take our nature upon him and to suffer death on the cross that all mankind should follow the example of his great humility, mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of our Savior Jesus Christ in his patience and also have our portion in his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. Good morning. Our first lesson this morning is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the first lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia. Our service will now continue with a song by the Sunday School children. Our second scripture lesson comes from Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it here and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosing the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" Here ends the second lesson. I invite you now to rise as we join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We'll continue with the next hymn. Fellow Christians, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord, his Son, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text today is taken from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. So far our text. In the name of Christ Jesus, our King, dear fellow redeemed, extraordinary, adjective, meaning beyond or out of the ordinary, uncommon, rare, wonderful, sent for a special purpose or on a particular occasion. When you were getting ready to come to church this morning, did anything about this day strike you as extraordinary? Chances are, probably not. You dressed and had breakfast as you usually do on Sunday mornings, perhaps with one eye on the clock so that you wouldn't be late for church. Nothing or common or rare in that. Parents hustled their children along. Children grumbled as their hair was combed or their good shoes were searched for. Nothing out of the ordinary there. It's the same routine you go through every Sunday. Maybe it was when you first stepped in the doors of the church and saw these palm branches that you remembered that there is something special about today. That's right. Today is Palm Sunday. In a lot of ways, Palm Sunday is simply extraordinary. Think of it, right in the darkest part of the Lenten season, squeezed in between the solemn occasions of Passion Sunday and Good Friday, comes a day of rejoicing, a day of hosannas, Palm Sunday, What is it exactly that makes this day so uncommon and rare? In our text for today, the prophet Zechariah tells us. He paints us a vivid picture of the coming of an extraordinary king and the establishment of an extraordinary kingdom. The king he's describing, of course, is Jesus Christ, and the occasion is Palm Sunday. And amazingly, Zechariah told of these events more than 500 years before they happened. Let's look more closely at the inspired words of the prophet as we consider the theme, Zechariah's Extraordinary Palm Sunday Prophecy. Today, we welcome Jesus as our King, the supreme ruler of our lives. And that's a little extraordinary in itself, isn't it? As school children, we pledged our allegiance to the flag of the United States. At basketball games, we sing the national anthem of our republic in which we live. We're not used to thinking of ourselves as subject of a kingdom, but we are. As Christians, we're members of the universal church of all believers, the New Jerusalem. When Zechariah addresses the daughter of Jerusalem, he's talking to us. Jesus is our king. Our allegiance to him comes even before our allegiance to our country. And on this extraordinary day, the prophet tells us we've got good reason to be happy. Our king is coming to us. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Rejoice. That's what the prophet's saying to you today. You've got a king that's like any king the world has ever seen. What's so extraordinary about this king? First of all, he's a righteous king. You know, when Jesus came, he didn't ignore our sins, and he didn't magically make our sins disappear. As a just king, he couldn't do that. He told his disciples, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus knew that a price had to be paid for all the times you and I broke God's law. And as our just and righteous king, he came to pay that price. He came having salvation. On Palm Sunday, Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, knowing full well that in less than a week's time, he would be suffering on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. Ordinarily, kings are proud and stately. During World War II, Emperor Hirohito of Japan thrilled his people and boosted the Japanese war effort by appearing in a dashing military uniform mounted on a magnificent white stallion. The king of Palm Sunday was extraordinary, not for his pride, but his humility. The everyday clothes he wore, the humble donkey he rode, these were symbolic of the humility so necessary for our salvation. Because it took a tremendous amount of humility to do for us what Jesus did, in our epistle lesson, we were reminded that Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Thank God our king was humble, not proud. Jesus' kingdom, too, is quite extraordinary. Very often, it's also misunderstood. We ask our confirmation students the same question, where exactly is the kingdom of God? And each time, we typically get the answer, in heaven. Well, Jesus certainly is king of heaven, and earth too, but the borders of his kingdom are even broader than that. When the Jews asked him about his kingdom, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here' or 'See there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." In our hearts, yours and mine, that's where Jesus' kingdom is. Wherever the Holy Spirit has given a human being faith in Jesus as his personal Savior, there, in that person's heart, is the kingdom of God. Jesus' kingdom is extraordinary, too, because it's a kingdom of peace. We're used to associating greatness with a kingdom or a nation only if it has huge armies and powerful weapons. In our world of the 21st century, you just don't rate as a country if you don't have a standing army of millions and an arsenal bristling with nuclear weapons. Which is the most powerful kingdom today? It's not Red China, it's not Russia, and it's not even the United States. By far, the most powerful kingdom in the world is the kingdom of Christ. What other power could turn millions from ignorance to truth, from darkness to light, from damnation to eternal salvation? And yet this is a kingdom that has nothing to do with physical arms and weapons. In fact, our text says, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he, that is Christ, shall speak peace unto the heathen." The peace our King brings us is real. It's a peace each of us can use personally in our everyday lives. The pastor that authored this sermon recalls speaking with a young Christian who told him, "Pastor, I just had a terrible week. Everything that could go wrong did. The only thing that kept me going, I remembered that none of this stuff really matters. Jesus died for me, and I'm heading for heaven, no matter what." Now that's a peace that means something, a peace that we can use. Well may we sing our hosannas, well may we offer our palm branches to a king who brings us that kind of peace. The Roman Empire is commonly considered to have been the largest unified kingdom the world has ever seen. Under the Emperor Trajan in the 2nd century AD, the Roman Empire stretched from the river Euphrates in Mesopotamia to the east, to the British Isles in the west. Interestingly, the same river Euphrates is the one Zechariah mentions in our text. But the kingdom of Christ, he says, will stretch much further. His dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. The kingdom of Christ is extraordinary because it knows no boundaries. It's present the world over, wherever the gospel is preached and believed. It's in Africa, India, Great Britain, and America. It's in Russia, China, Japan, and Germany. It's everywhere there are faithful hearts that look to Jesus as their only source of forgiveness and life. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, he was bringing salvation not to one city, but to the whole world. Not to one people, but to all people, everywhere, of every age and era. You and I are subjects of that extraordinary kingdom, and our King has charged us with the joyous task of spreading the boundaries of his kingdom even further. His instructions: "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." When was the last time you were so happy you shouted out loud? Can't remember? Well, our author of the sermon today could. He was walking back from the mailbox, leisurely opening his mail, when he discovered a check for $200 from an unexpected source. He actually shouted out loud with surprise and joy, and immediately noticed that there were several people on the nearby street who were staring at him. He was embarrassed, but he just couldn't hold back his delight. Today, we welcome Jesus, our extraordinary King, into our hearts. And Zechariah tells us that Palm Sunday is definitely not a day to hold back. "Rejoice greatly," the prophet says, "and shout with joy." God grant we may all feel the extraordinary joy of pardon and peace in our Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, our gracious and glorious King, on that first Palm Sunday, you came in triumph to Jerusalem with people shouting their hosannas and little children singing your praise. But you did not come to reign over an earthly kingdom. You came in peace as the Prince of Peace to lay down your life on Calvary for the sins of the world. Through the sacrifice you made, God and sinners are reconciled. Savior and King, accept our humble thanks for giving the kingdom of heaven to us sinners. O Lamb of God, who came to suffer and die, come now as King into our hearts to reign. Come to stay, rule us with your grace, forgiving all our sins. With your love, change our lives so that we no longer serve sin, but only righteousness. Cleanse our hearts with the purifying fire of your word and the Holy Spirit. Cleanse us from sin and unbelief and doubt. Give us faith to trust you, courage to confess you, strength to bear our crosses, and zeal to follow you all the days of our lives. O Savior, whose tender heart was filled with such love for lost sinners that you even wept over unbelieving Jerusalem, knowing the terrible judgment that would befall it, fill us with compassion for all those sinners who, because of unbelief, are still traveling the broad road to damnation. May we feel compelled to witness your saving name at every opportunity and to join with others in sending missionaries to the far corners of the earth to preach the gospel to every creature. Though many who once shouted Hosanna later denied you and doubtless joined in the cries saying, "Crucify him," fill us, we pray, with your Holy Spirit that we may ever confess and never deny your holy name, glorifying you constantly by holy living. Grant that all who this day make their vows to be faithful to you until death keep their vows unbroken. May they, together with us, fight the good fight of faith and inherit eternal life to which each was called. May we who serve you here in faith ever behold you in your glory hereafter in the paradise of God. Until that day, direct our prayers through your intercession to the heavenly throne where they are heard because in you the Father is well pleased. Hear us, blessed Jesus, our Redeemer and King, in whose name we also join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We'll continue with the next hymn.
Thank you.
Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.